Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. John, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Thank you, Father, for the many blessings you have bestowed upon each one of us, if we'll really take time to stop and count them. Take this offering, break it, use it. Give us wisdom, those that are responsible for it. We thank you for the privilege of being able to return unto you. In your blessed holy name, amen.
Thank you. Christ's names are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood.
This morning for the blood of Jesus Christ. As we prepare our hearts for prayer, we want to remind you to make note through the course of your week as you go to your prayer closets to make mention of the names that are on our prayer list in the bulletin. You may not know every person or every situation. I assure you that our God does, and He knows every need and every work. Just to catch you up on a couple of things, for those of you who may not have heard, Carolyn Stevens' mother passed away about 7:15 this morning, and they will be driving home today The funeral has been scheduled for next Saturday so that the relatives and friends can get in and not have to miss as much work and those kinds of things. And so they will be driving back to Minnesota next weekend for the funeral and all that is around that. So pray for traveling mercies for Pat and Carolyn, for their families at the latter part of the week as they indeed deal with this loss of Carolyn's mother. And then this morning, would you stand with me as we prepare our hearts? I want to ask you to do a couple of things for me. Number one, I talked to David and Tammy just a little bit this morning, and you know that we've had her father on the prayer list for quite some time, fighting a battle with cancer. They think that he could maybe be in the last month of his life. And so I would just like for some of our ladies, if you would, this morning to gather around Tammy back there and just give her some prayer cover and indeed let her know that we love her and appreciate her, and we're certainly praying for them, David as well, as they go through this this time. And then over here we've got Pat and David. David, hold your hand up over there, buddy. Pat, where you at? Okay. There's Pat and David. For those of you who don't know, they have sold their home. And as a result of that, they're making a move. I don't like to talk about it. I don't even like to think about it. But at any rate, this morning is their last Sunday with us. And so I want some of you to gather around Pat and David over there. We love you, Pat and David. We are so glad. So glad to have had you as part of our church family, and you will always be part of our church family as far as we're concerned, wherever you go. And so we want to be praying for them, that God will be with them. We want to say thanks for all that you've contributed to us and to our church family as you've been here. David, thank you so much for being a great cheerleader. You've been so encouraging to me, and I appreciate that, my friend. Want to continue to pray over these many things. You've been hearing about VBS this morning. Certainly our district assembly is coming upon us, the election of our new district superintendent, and there are several other things that indeed are there. Our folks that are battling cancer and other diseases that need our prayers. But we are encouraged this morning to report that Brother Randy is feeling better and stronger, and so we thank the Lord for that, and we give him praise. As long as we live in a fallen world, there are going to be needs. And I have the opportunity this morning to say thanks to someone I don't always get to do that to publicly, but my mom is here this morning. And it's always great to have family here with us, and the kids have all been in this weekend to celebrate. We have a batch of birthdays that all fall in about the same 10 days. And so it's been great to have our kids home this weekend and to share with them. But I want to say thanks to my mom. Her prayers and her support, and for all that she taught me, and well, there just aren't words just to say thanks, and I love you, and thanks for coming. It's not very often, because my mother is very faithful in her own church. My dad was the greeter there for the last few years before he passed away, and they have always been very involved. Hi, Kevin. Family and friends have always been a big deal to me, and they're important to our church. we are glad that you are here. Glad to make new friends and for the new families that have been coming into our presence. We love you all and appreciate you all. And thankful for each of you who are here today. But, enjoy family while you have the chance. And that's all I'll say about that. The altars are open. Our thoughts and minds are in preparation for sitting together at the Lord's table today. Here's a time to say thanks to God for His many blessings and for all that He does in our life. Perhaps you're here this morning with a heavy heart and you need a place to leave a burden. And we certainly invite you. We've asked some of you to let us pray around you, but indeed we invite anyone who'd need to come and find a place at the altar, just a place to pray, a place to thank God for His goodness, a place to leave your burden so that He will carry your load and save you some of that trouble. And so we're going to sing together again. And if you have need of a place, you feel free to come, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
Lord, I give you every storm. When my spirit's weak and worn, give me grace to trust you.
Father, it is a privilege and honor to call you that name this morning. We are glad that you love us as your children. We're thankful for the plan of salvation that has given us the opportunity to be restored in our relationship with you. And we come here today to celebrate that you are alive and well. We come here to worship you, to learn your word, to hear your voice, to follow your direction, to indeed be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are nothing without you. We echo with the Apostle Paul that indeed we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Father, we come today to acknowledge you, to honor you, to love you, to learn of you. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, our hearts. Walk the aisles, walk between the pews. Speak to your people today, we pray, Lord Jesus, and whatever needs to be done, may we be obedient to the voice of God. We thank you for the privilege of coming together to share communion. And Lord, as we have been singing about the blood this morning, we indeed are grateful for your body and blood. We heard already several exciting reports about Troy's Sunday school class and the video they saw about the body of Jesus. Lord, you have a way of preparing us for these events, for these times. And Lord, we come this morning with thanksgiving, with praise. But we always come as needy people, because without you, we have no way. And so, Father, we thank you for your guidance, for your leadership, and your blessing. Lord, we even thank you for the storms this morning. We've been singing about them, talking about them for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, we are indeed grateful that you indeed are able to take us through the tests and the trials, that you can help us to get through the storm, and that indeed, Father, we are reminded that when the clouds clear away, when the dark and the gloom is gone, the sun has always been there. Always. Never changed, never moved. And so, Father, we are thankful today for this beautiful day that you've given to us, sunshine and warmth. Indeed, this great time of year where there is new growth, things that are being born in the cycle of life. And, Father, we thank you for the new birth today that we have in you. We thank you for new growth. We look at the trees sometimes and we can see where the branch has been a year ago, and we see new green growth where the branch extends. And Lord, we know that's something new that's never been there before. Father, we thank you for the foundation that you give us. We thank you for the journey that we've traveled thus far. But we thank you, Father, for what you are doing right here, right now, today, and into our future, Father, that you are constantly doing something new and fresh. And Lord, as we come to you today, we come in faith believing that you continue to be interested in us. Fill us with your presence to be there to touch our lives and the lives of those around us. We just simply want to say this morning, Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We put our life in your hands and pray that you would guide us and direct us. Thank you for your patience and understanding, for your grace and mercy all along the way. We give you praise in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
I can can only imagine.
Mr. Choir Director. Well, I like new and exciting things, and I like praise teams. I like my choir. We're glad we get to have both. Some people have to do an either or, but we get to have both. And so I am thankful for that and appreciative for that. And never fails that when our choir sings that it blesses my heart. And what a great song. How many of you have tried to imagine what heaven might be like? And we realize that we can't. We can even read there at the end of Revelation all of the great description of how it will be. And we can anticipate it, and we can long for it. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to be so much better than we could ever imagine. And as we prepare our hearts for communion today, we do so with anticipation of being able to go to heaven because of what has been provided for us in this very celebration that we're about to participate in. Now, you have your Bibles this morning. I want to turn your attention toward two passages of Scripture as text this morning. As we have sung so much about the blood, I want to talk to you specifically about the benefits of the blood this morning. Blood benefits. Mark chapter 14, verses 23 and 24, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. What a privilege we have, first, to even know Jesus Christ. And I just now realized that these people are all standing up over here. Indeed, I didn't see you over there, buddy. And so when we're praying for you as well, because we know that that you're concerned for your grandfather. I mentioned your mom and dad, but you know, we know this is a journey for you as well, and we love you, and we appreciate you. Deej and Stevie, if you've been watching the bulletin, they're going to graduate, and we're going to honor them on Wednesday evening, May the 1st. And so you come and be a part of that, and we'll have a good time. We appreciate these young men and what they're doing. But I didn't realize you were over there, DJ, and so appreciate you. Glad you're here this morning. And Kevin, how you doing, man? Kevin is Nathan's friend, and glad to have him in church this morning. Glad to have all of you in church this morning. Man, you look good. I like you. And glad you're here. My kids are home. I'm pretty pumped this weekend. My kids are all home. For today is Cody and Hannah's birthday. And Cody really thought that was a really cool thing, that Hannah was born on his birthday until she had her first birthday and he had his 13th or something like that. And he was kind of in oblivion that day, in paling to the first birthday of Hannah. And she's never let him forget that. And so at any rate, but that's a unique celebration. Our family's important to us and the friends of our family are important to us. And I got all kinds of things running through my head, and I just need to say this right quick. Will and Larissa came home this weekend, and for a couple of years, Will was a youth pastor, and now he's not doing that particular job anymore, but he is an English teacher in Wyandotte County and also a baseball coach there, and he has told me, been sharing with me this weekend, that he's doing more ministry as a school teacher than he had the opportunity to do as a youth pastor. And what'd you say, Will, 35 guys on your baseball team and four of them have dads that are in the home or known. And so he is a male role model to many of them. We never know where God's going to place us. You know, and sometimes we can have much greater impact when we're in something that doesn't look like a full-time ministry job because people don't expect the same kind of things, but he is being a role model, and we appreciate that. And so we pray for you, Will, and for the work that you do. and the influence that our kids have over other children. Larissa has a new job in the hospital with adolescent counseling, and Cody's going to be doing a new job next year in Branson, still continuing to do elementary counseling. And God has blessed our family, and I love having my family together. And my mom told my wife she was going to show up, but she didn't tell me. And I think she just likes to watch me cry or something. At any rate, but I want you to understand something. You are family with us as well. And that's part of what this message is all about, is that the blood makes us family. We'll touch more on that in a few moments. But I want us just to look at these passages this morning. Jesus speaking and Paul speaking of the significance of the blood. And so let's read together Mark 14, verses 23 and 24. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. And then turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 25. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so what I want us to do as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning is simply take a little memory journey in the Word of God and be reminded of the benefits that indeed are ours because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And so I want to think in these three terms this morning and then try to kind of embellish a little bit. But obviously, the blood has provided for us salvation. It has also provided for us relationship, and it has provided for us healing. And we need all of those things. But I want you just to take a little journey with me this morning, and we may move rather swiftly. And so if you don't have time to turn, fortunately, we've been blessed that Mike has everything cued for us and ready to go along the way. And so we start this journey. But there's a lot of things that are involved as we think about salvation and what that means. First of all, we're familiar with that word that comes up that says that the shedding of Jesus' blood was the atonement for our sins. The word atonement means a price paid to compensate for damages or to make amends. And we know that there was the act of disobedience, a rebellion against God of Adam and Eve in the garden, and that we have inherited that particular trait from them. And indeed, we need the atoning work of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we find in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, it reads this way: God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. So he paid a price for the damage that our sin does. The second thing that we want to consider this morning is not only is it an atonement, not only is there a price paid to compensate for damages, but because of that atonement, we are redeemed. We enjoy redemption. The word redemption means to rescue by paying a price or to recover by discharging an obligation. You know, we talk about salvation being free. Well, it's free to you and me. But it cost Jesus. It cost God. There was a price that was paid indeed that we might be redeemed. We were rescued by the paying of that price. We were made to be right with God. We were made to be forgiven in the sense that Jesus went to the cross instead of us having to face some kind of penalty or punishment. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." And then we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish
or defect. We know that there was a lot of redeeming that went on in the Old Testament days. We can get into Old Testament history and we can read stories of people who redeemed. They brought out currency. They brought out some kind of bartering tool. They paid a price. But indeed, Jesus bought our redemption with the shedding of his own blood. It's not been so long ago that we passed Good Friday and Easter weekend, and we know that there was no way that Jesus was going to go through the resurrection out of the tomb without having faced the crucifixion on the cross. We know that there was a price that was paid. It was the most horrible way that a person could face death and be punished for a crime. And Jesus went to the cross for a crime he never committed, to pay a debt he never owed, simply because God the Father loved us and provided a redemption. He redeemed us with the shedding of his own son's blood. But not only is there atonement, not only is there redemption, but as a part of this salvation plan, there is also forgiveness. The word forgiveness means relief from payment or pardon from debt. If you look over into the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we read two or three verses here. First, verse number 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? And then in verse 22, we read, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And in verse 26, then Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus bore our sins. Jesus loved us enough that he wanted us to not have to deal with all of the things that were the consequence of our being separated from God. And so he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. He went to the cross to show us his great love. He went to the cross to provide for us reconciliation with God, to relieve us from making the payment ourselves. We should have faced that pain. We should have faced that suffering. We should have had to pay the punishment for our crime. But we had to do none of that, because forgiveness gives us pardon. Not only do we enjoy atonement and redemption and forgiveness, but we are indeed justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The word justification simply means to pronounce free from blame or guilt. So not only are we relieved of the payment of the debt, but now he literally is freeing us from the blame. He's releasing us from the guilt of the very thing that we've done. We read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things that happened when I experienced forgiveness was that I didn't feel guilty anymore. How many of you know how you feel when you do something wrong? You know you did it wrong. And you know you shouldn't have done it wrong. We deal with that guilt. And if people blame us, we deserve to be blamed because we fouled up. But in essence, what's happening here is that it's saying, even though you're the seed of Adam, even though you've done all these things, that the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross has indeed made you free from blame or guilt. You no longer have to worry about your past, where the enemy, the old devil, would try to bring up your history. If you indeed have given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you have confessed your sin, then you don't have to carry the guilt anymore. You simply post a no fishing sign on your past, and the devil's not allowed to go there. All because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are justified. Literally, one person has said it means that Jesus makes us just as if we had never sinned. Do you remember in Genesis the fellowship that Adam enjoyed with God before eating the fruit? There was innocence and there was excitement and there was this communion that went on in the garden. And then when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit and knew they did something they were told not to do, what did they do then? They went and hid. They went and hid like they thought they could get away from God. And when God came in the cool of the evening and said, Adam, where are you? Do you think it was because he couldn't find him? How many of you have ever played hide and seek? God wasn't playing hide and seek. He knew exactly where Adam was. The problem was, Adam wasn't sure where Adam was. And God needed Adam to realize what had happened in that fellowship and that relationship between he and Adam. And what Jesus does by the shedding of his blood on the cross is he removes the guilt, he removes the blame, and he allows us to stand in the presence of God and feel good like we did when we know before anything would have ever happened, like Adam did when he was with God in the garden. Free from blame or guilt. I don't like being blamed for things I didn't do, and I really don't care for being blamed for the things I did do. But we're guilty. We're guilty of being sinners. We're guilty of rebelling against the authority of God. We're guilty by inheritance of what we got from Adam and Eve, of being estranged from God. And the blood of Jesus Christ takes away the blame, takes away the guilt. When I was a kid growing up, and my mom can testify to this, I was never a good liar. I couldn't tell a lie. I mean, I told them. I just couldn't carry them through. I was obvious I was lying. And I felt bad about it. And I'm thankful that God gave me a tender heart, but I'm thankful that my mom taught me a long time ago that if I needed to go to this altar, it doesn't matter how old I was or how long I'd professed to be a Christian or anything else. You know, my mom used to say to me, I'd rather go to the altars to hang on the back of that pew and go to hell. Maybe more kids need to hear that from their mom and dad. I don't know. My mom and I used to have a lot of talks on Wednesday nights going to church. And she's a pretty straight shooter. But I'm glad that she taught me about Jesus loving me and dying for me. I'm glad that she took me to church where I could learn the things of the Word of God, and know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me. And not only does it give me atonement, redemption, forgiveness, justification, but it also provides for my sanctification, or the cleansing and purification of my heart, and freedom from the power of sin in my life. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? And then in chapter 13, in verse 12, we read that verse of Scripture that says, the very reason that Jesus died, the reason he suffered outside the city gate was to... And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. He died not just to forgive us. He didn't die just to forgive us. He died, he shed his blood so that we might be delivered from the power of sin, that we might be cleansed and purified and made holy. In 1 John chapter 1. In verse 7 we read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. And then we read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Man, this blood does a lot of stuff. This blood provides a lot of things. There's a lot of things here that we don't have to deal with because of the blood of Jesus Christ when it's applied to our lives. But the blood not only provides these components of salvation, but it also provides with us relationship. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us kin to Him. We have His blood flowing through our veins. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you, which means to be brought back into relationship and harmony with, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. I hate it when people accuse me of stuff. And the enemy is will falsely accuse you. But you all know the media well enough to know that nothing has to be true. All you have to do is make an accusation and you can ruin a person's life. Doesn't matter what's true or not. And the blood of Jesus Christ brings us into right relationship with God, makes us family, and makes us free from accusation. I think that's great news. And I don't have to contend with that anymore. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, for this reason He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. We are His brothers. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We have relationship. I got to tell you that it has been great this weekend to have my kids at home. It's been great this morning to have my mother come and be in church with me. But I'm glad to have the family of God here as well this morning. I'm glad to have all of my brothers and sisters. And as much as I love family, we have big family gatherings. I am glad that I get to be a part of a big family gathering every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, and some times in between. Because even when my blood family, my real red blood physical family can't be here, I have the blood of Jesus Christ and the family that's been given to me by being brothers and sisters with you. And I like it. Now, I've fought once in a while with my brothers and sisters. My kids have fought with each other. Matter of fact, even when they get together now, they don't seem to quite remember everything exactly the same way. There are many angles to these stories. And sometimes in the body of Christ, we don't always necessarily see everything exactly the same way. But it doesn't mean that we're not related. It doesn't mean we don't love each other and care. Sometimes we have to learn, you know, to mature a little bit in our horizontal relationships. But I'm glad we've got them. I'm glad we have family. I'm glad that we belong. I'm glad that there's something. Everybody has a sense of wanting to belong to something. And in the body of Christ, we belong to Him and we belong to each other. But more than that, and I've heard this my whole life and I believe it's true, life can give you some wounds, but the blood of Jesus Christ brings healing. The blood of Jesus Christ brings healing. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 5, we read, but He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. And you say, well, but, you know, some people say, well, that's just spiritual healing. And other people say, well, that's physical. I'm here to tell you this morning, I think it's both. And the reason I believe that is because if you look back in the book of Psalms, in chapter 103, verses 2 and 3, it reads like this, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And I believe that He bore the stripes. I believe that He shed His blood on the cross because He wants to touch us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And indeed, He has the ability to heal us physically and to heal us spiritually. If you don't believe it, go back to Mark chapter 2. And in Mark chapter 2, you're going to find the story of a man who was a paralytic. and his friends brought him before Jesus. And the Pharisees and all the people who were around, the religious bunch of the day who were trying to find something to trip up Jesus over, they got mad because Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Isn't that interesting? Jesus, if you look in the scripture, almost every time that somebody came to Jesus for a physical touch, he touched them some way spiritually first. And then he took care of that physical need. But he responded to those needs almost simultaneously together. It was a corporate kind of a combined happening. But it says this in Mark chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And guess what happened? He got up. Why? Because Jesus has the authority. Because Jesus shed blood, provides for us the opportunity. There are so many things that are accessible for us because of the blood of Jesus. And as we gather this morning, and as we come to the place of partaking of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is indeed something to do, remembering what all is ours as a result of what Jesus suffered and did. We do this in remembrance that Jesus suffered and died. We do this to remember, hey, I don't just have the name Christian. Here are all the benefits that come as a result of this. I got a letter in the mail from AAA the other day. And they said, "Here, if you spend this money with us, here are all your benefits." And they had a color brochure. It was so nice. It was glossy. You know, it wasn't just cheap white paper with black ink on. Now, they put some money in that. I'm just thinking if they made uglier posters, my membership would be less. But see, they know how people's minds work, and so they kind of embellish those things, and they made that nice brochure. But it says on there, you know, hey, if you pay your membership due, you can call us when you lock your keys in your car or when you leave your purse in your husband's truck. I'll have to tell you about that later. At any rate, or when you have a flat tire on the road, or when your fuel tank is out of gas. There's a story that's told one time about this guy who was on the freeway and he ran out of gas. He was a minister and he was going to preach at a meeting that night and he forgot to check his gas tank. He ran out of gas, California freeway, ran out of gas. So he raised the hood of his car and he knelt down to pray in front of his car. And his pickup with these kind of redneck kind of guys pulled up beside him. They said, "Mister, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I ran out of gas and I'm praying for God to help me." And the two guys went back to the truck, pulled out a 5-gallon gas can, put gas in his tank, and while they're pouring the gas, one looks at the other and says, "Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard of?" They thought it was a silly prayer and they were being the answer right then and there. There are benefits that come to us by being in right relationship to Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our guilt is taken away. The blame is no longer there. And we indeed are in right relationship to God, and we have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us and guide us through our journey. And as we come to the table this morning, we come celebrating everything that Christ has done, all that the blood has provided for us. And I want to tell you this morning that in the Church of the Nazarene, we believe in open communion. If you are here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to join us at the table. We are part of the family of God and the body of Christ. And we do not think that there's any particular denomination that has an exclusive on the blood of Jesus. And so if you are saved this morning, we want you to join us, because we're all going to be together in heaven, hopefully. But I would say this to you this morning. In just a few moments, we're going to pray. And as we pray, if you're here this morning and you have any sense of guilt or any sense of anything that would keep you from partaking of communion this morning, if you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart and life, I would encourage you this morning to, in this moment of time, to pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. I didn't realize all that was accessible to me by knowing you personally. And I would encourage you to pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. Just that quick. God wants to be a part of your life. God will forgive you, and your heart can be cleansed, and you will be ready to sit at the table with us this morning. It's His table. It's a feast for His disciples. Let all those who have in true repentance come to Him. Come and partake this morning. Pastor Don, I'm going to ask you to come and join me. In just a few moments, we'll ask this side of the church, these two groups of pews, to come into this aisle and come by and receive the elements and return to your seat. And these two groups to come by and receive the elements and return to your seat. Hold your elements until everyone has had a chance to be served, and we'll all take together at the same time as we observe the Lord's Supper this morning. I want to ask you to stand, and I want us to pray. Prepare our hearts. Paul went on to write in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he went on to write that a man ought to examine himself. And the truth of the matter is, it's not a self-examination we need this morning. It's an examination right out of heaven. The searchlight of the Holy Spirit to look into our lives. And no matter who we are, no matter how old or young we are, that we open ourselves to Jesus Christ. And that if He should bring to our attention this morning anything that might be unlike Him, or anything that might stand in our way of fellowship, then I encourage you, even as we pray this morning, to simply pray and say, Lord, I don't want anything to be between you and me. I want to be right with you. I want to be on my way to heaven. I don't want to just imagine what heaven's going to be like. I want to get there one of these days. I want to enjoy all the benefits and all the blessings. But while we're here, right here today and right now, we can enjoy the blessings and benefits that God has given us through the shedding of His Son Jesus' blood on the cross. Pray with me this morning. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. We are appreciative of what You have done, Jesus. We can't totally comprehend it. We can't totally understand it, but we believe it's true. We believe that You, in obedience to Your Father, came to this earth, lived 33 years, died a physical death on a cross. It was as horrible could be, that You suffered. But while You were suffering, You were realizing also what it was You were doing for all of us. And You did it because You wanted to. And You did it because You loved us. And so, Father, we come this morning remembering and being thankful for all that Your blood has provided for us. Atonement, redemption, forgiveness, justification, sanctification. That You have given us the plan of salvation. That You have brought us into relationship, and Your blood now flows through our veins, and we are joint heirs with Jesus as we accept by faith the work that You've done on the cross. Father, we thank You for this great family that we're a part of. And Lord, we thank You for the healing that You provided in our lives. We thank You that You healed us of our guilt, that You healed us of our sins, that you healed us spiritually, Father, in what separated us from the Father God, and that indeed You have brought us into right relationship, reconciled us. We thank You for the healing for our physical bodies here on this earth, that sin has corrupted and brought disease on the face of this earth. But Lord, there are people right here in this congregation today that can testify to healing. Maybe it wasn't instantaneous, but Lord, indeed, it is a miracle that these bodies regenerate themselves. And so, Father, we thank You for Your provision, for Your healing touch in our lives, both physically and spiritually. We receive that now in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's one here today that's sick, we would ask them to just in faith believe, to ask You to touch their bodies, to bring healing into their life and their spirit. Father, today we love You. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. We want to be right with you. We want to have a home in heaven. We want to enjoy your peace in the midst of the storms of this life. And so we accept today, by faith, what you've done on the cross and all of its benefits. And we thank you for it. And we celebrate it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We invite you to begin to come this morning to receive the elements. Then hold them until we can all take together.
What a great family. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance and be thankful. Do you ever imagine that there could be so much contained in such an element? All of God's love, packaged on a cross, delivered through a tomb. But now He sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf. Everything we enjoy because of His shed blood. Drink and be thankful. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ flow through your life. The love of our Father God flow out of your life into the lives of others. May His countenance shine upon your face, and may everyone know who your brother is. In His name, amen.